There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, it's your old pal Wilson, and we're bringing you the 12 days of Richmas. Yeah, we went now. I'm sorry about that. These are the 12 most listened to episodes of 2023. Enjoy.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello and welcome to your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane, with me, Rich Wilson. And today I'm joined by the mighty Simon Brodkin. Hello.
Hello, Rich. Nice Hello, to be mate. Here. Yeah, getting some nice headbanging into the Insane in the Membrane. Yes. Second time on your pod, I believe. This is, I don't know whether it's some sort of honours board in your, in, I don't know what room you're in of the house, but in the background there, like in the... like in the Lords, what is it, the long room, they've got the people who have all high achievers. So are many two-timers on your podcast?
I think we've had, not many, to be honest. There's only been a couple. James Atkin from EMF twice.
Yeah, nice.
Phil Ellis, he's been on a couple of times. Darren Harriott is coming back on.
And you're on it a lot, to be fair.
Sorry?
You're on it a lot, to be fair.
There is me. But it would be weird if I wasn't here. Just be, to be honest, it looks like we're in the same room.
Well, we are, mate. I thought we weren't going to give that away.
Oh, yeah, sorry, the magic of television.
Yeah, we both got sort of rooms that once upon a time had a nice potential, but then we've been living in them for a little bit too long.
It's just life just takes you, just you go, oh, I must put that picture up. I must do that thing. And then, it's 2 years down the line, like, that picture, where is that picture now? So,
I feel sorry for the relatives who are going to have to clear through my stuff when I'm dead. It's like, oh, Jesus, Simon, couldn't you have cleared out even the most basic? This is... But I like what you've done with your clothes stand. You've just put seemingly every item of clothing. It's hard to see exactly what's going on, but it looks like you just piled them high.
Well, it's a mannequin. Yeah, it's a mannequin because I was selling stuff on eBay and vintage.
Yeah, it's a sex doll. I can see it, Rich. And I mannequin. Come on, mate. An open mouth mannequin.
Yeah, it's a mannequin. It loves me.
Sweet that you let it in on the podcast. Fine, you can have give you a bit of airtime. God, I love you, babe.
It's like Lars and the Real Girl. It's just like, we have proper conversations. We really, it's my friend and confident and sex doll. It's
not
everything.
Not far off, mate, with AI. Who's going to tell the difference soon?
Mate, I find that horrifying because it will be used for evil. I feel,
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying, aren't they?
Yeah, I think.
I've not read many books. But one I've read is by this amazing, I'm not even sure what he'd call himself, Yuval, he wrote Sapiens.
Okay, yeah.
I say read Sapiens. I'm eating, by the way, Rich, as you can probably
That's fine.
See and hear, and many of your listeners will have been disgusted by the munching noises. You know what I like listening to when I jog? Just Simon Brodkin chewing a sweet potato in my face. That's why I've chewed into Insane in the Membrane. So, yeah, and he's warning of exactly what you're saying about the evil that it's going to be. I'm trying to get my head exactly around the process whereby I think it's that they echo what we're saying, essentially.
Okay.
So if there is evil into, so they learn. So let's say a very basic one. ChatGPT, which, you know, you ask it questions, it feeds back. All it is doing is picking out everything that's ever been said on the internet and feeding it back to us.
Right. Yeah.
So from what I understand, and bear in mind, that's very little. What I think is it's a, if the ChatGPT picks up on our traits, our negativity, our narcissism, our hunger for power, then it feeds that back to us. And so you will then get these things who are entirely learning off of us. And then if you have them making decisions or having more and more influence, then they, you know, understand the best way of yielding power often, as we've seen with Trump and even Muskie's at it these days, isn't he? He's a right-wing bloody agitator because, you know, he gets likes and he gets love. It's tragic to see. So it'll be our fault, of course, because we taught it. But I mean, not me, of course. I'm pretty much nice through and through, mate. Not
you
an
are,
evil
every
thought.
Time I've seen you. No, you're always nice. You're always nice to me. It's all that matters. Nice to everyone around you.
It's easy to keep up a front for, you know, social occasions, before and after gig, during an hour-long podcast. It's a struggle.
It'll start to wane by like 45 minutes in and you'll go, fuck this. Do you know what I really think?
How are you, mate? Anyway.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm very well. It does worry me, the AI thing. And I think, only like you say, only because, it's only because I know what human beings are like. And every technology that comes along, it gets used in a sexual way. So even, you know, the humble calculator, we wrote boobs on it. And then it's kind of going to, you know, now we're, you know, sex dolls that look real and honestly. And then there's the VR headsets that people are using, that, you know, the gaming ones. Now, someone's telling me the other day, oh, you can watch porn on those. I'm like, I don't know if I want that. I don't want to sound like a prude, but that sounds like a lot.
I don't know if I want too it, much but just now. give us a little look. And then we'll go from there.
I won't put it on, but I'll just look.
If you just give me a few minutes. Back in the day when we thought writing boobless was as evil as mankind got.
Yeah, now look at us.
it is. It's all gathering at a pace, isn't it, mate? It's gathering at a pace. I feel a little bit out of my depth in terms of what the capabilities are, other than just asking it a question at the moment. That have you got it on your phone? Have you got the ChatGPT app?
No.
Right. Well, you clearly. I've got it. Let me have a look. Chat.
I've just got this Threads thing that everyone's doing.
Yeah, that's just what we need, isn't it?
Yeah, another.
I thought we could really do with another social media platform. We just felt we were lacking. Right, ChatGPT. I'm on Rich Wilson's Insane in the Membrane podcast. Okay. Right? What should I say? Start simple.
Wow, I don't know. No idea.
Well, no, I've asked ChatGPT.
I thought you were asking me. Like, I don't know.
That's exciting, he's told me, or she, it.
Oh, wow.
When appearing on Rich Wilson's Insane in the Membrane podcast, you can start by introducing yourself. That's clearly how little faith they have in you as the host. Like, that's the one thing the host needs to do. And the most powerful AI program on earth is telling me to do what you're... Just introduce yourself and share something interesting about your background. Well, we sort of did that with what's in my room. And share something interesting about your background or experiences. Feel free to talk about your passions, achievements, or any unique stories you'd like to share. Right, I'm actually sort of less worried that these things are going to take over. Like, this seems like sort of asking your auntie for some advice. I'm like, but that's gone a podcast, auntie. Well, just tell them something interesting. Oh, look, remember to be engaging, authentic, and enjoy the conversation.
Well, there we are. You know, we watch the films where the Terminator comes back, you know, has come back to, because, you know, it needs to do whatever it needs to do. And it's nothing like that at all. It's going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger coming back with, just telling you to be, just be interested, mate. Just
introduce yourself. I'll be back with some more passions and unique stories to share.
Be so authentic.
Preferred. Yeah, this is really me. Well, I'm less worried now. I think we can all chill out.
Yeah, I think we're all right for a while. I think we're all good.
I did actually ask it to write some gags, obviously. That's the first thing to do. Because different jobs, I mean, it won't write them. It says, I'm sorry, I've been programmed not to insult anyone.
All
right, that's pretty much all I've been programmed to do. Brilliant. Yeah. We clearly don't have overlapping skills.
I think I'll be all right for a while, if that's the case. We've seen that music AI music is eligible for, I think it's for like songwriting. I think music is eligible for awards, like whatever awards they are, but it's actual songwriting by AI isn't, or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder who's going to collect it.
Yeah. Henry the Hoover just rocks up.
Brilliant.
Oh, it's so emotional. He really nailed that, didn't he, Henry? Well done. Oh, he really.
That's interesting, actually. That's a great call. Because ChatGPT, this nebulous thing on your phone, what better face to give it to than Henry?
Yeah, he's always in a good mood. Doesn't matter what you throw at him. Doesn't matter what you get him to do.
This is brilliant. Henry, just thousands of, that's the next hour, the millions of, I said cloned Henrys. I mean, I think they already pretty are cloned, but with the evil of AI and the destruction. Tell me about your passions or I'll suck you up. A kid's horror film. I think we've got this sorted, mate. Let's end this call and get writing this script.
I think we need to get on. Whoever made like Sharknado and those types of films, I think we get onto them and go, right, we've got this film. We've got this.
I think I'm feeling it's either going to be great or so bad it's good.
I'd like to aim for so bad it's good. Like it inspires debate when a film's like that. Because why are we watching this shit? Why? I can't switch it off.
Well,
and then just looking at your own Hoover
Henrietta
in the corner.
Is obviously coming in. We've got to save Henrietta for volume two.
Yeah. Isn't there a green one as well? I think there's a Henry, there's a Hetty, and I think there's a green one, maybe. I might have imagined, or a blue one.
Is this sort of a sexually fluid Hoover?
It's orange. But how you been anyway, Simon? I've not seen you for a while. Are you well? Are you good? Are you keeping up with everything? All the changes?
I've been great, man. I've been great. I am about to go to Edinburgh Festival. I don't know when this goes out, but the whole of August up there with a new show called Xavier. Which is the... Well, I'm not sure whether I should give it away, actually. I won't give it away. He says, still not knowing why the show's called Xavier and trying to sound mysterious.
You needed to get into the brochure in February. That's why.
it's either A or Z. I went for the Z, so well, sort of close as I could think of at the time. And then afterwards carrying on this, which has been an incredible tour called Screwed Up, which launched at last Edinburgh. And just carrying on that journey... Just doing stand-up, loving doing stand-up. As you know, we'd gig many, many times with me wearing a baseball cap and calling everyone a bunch of legends as Lee. And for a few years, it's been now doing stuff as me, which
I followed ChatGPT's
advice and I made sure that I was authentic. I went, bloody hell.
Authentic. How has the transition been? Because I remember when you first started to do stand-up as yourself, and you could see that you were, it was like all the stuff of, and you didn't want to even go anywhere near anything that was anything like Lee. You wanted, you were sort of like, you know, you were reborn, reimagined. And how's the transition been?
2 years later, I'm getting out all his old scripts, changing the accent, and just it's really, really cool. I don't want to talk. I don't want to sound too much like I'm in some sort of cult, you know, in terms of like, it's great and amazing, and I feel exciting, and but it is sort of all those things for me. I've sort of the art of stand up, which Lee was sort of a part of, but sort of a little bit of a, you know, I'm sure people looked at that and thought, oh, you're cheating, man, that's not stand up. But I didn't really know much about stand up. I didn't really, you know, it wasn't like I'd studied the art form. I was just funny, and then always did funny characters, and then that was just one character that I did. So it's the ability to be able to talk about your own life, the own things, you know, the things that really, Jesus, ChatGPT is actually bang on, your own passions, your own authentic, enjoy the conversation, all those things actually bang on. But there's this purity to stand up and to be able to get up there and talk about the real things that matter, the real things that obviously you've got to be funny about them. I mean, otherwise, it's just an incredibly dull TED talk from someone who doesn't know much, which you'll be amazed at how much goes on the cutting room floor, right? You think this is bloody brilliant. Try out in some club. It turns out it's just mildly interesting to not many people not that funny. But yeah, in Screwed Up, it's talking about, I might have mentioned this. It's talking about, it follows me sort of having a moment of being a little bit overwhelmed with everything. Mm. A little bit. I say in the show, I was talking to my wife and I said, I've arranged for the two of us to go away for the weekend, just the two of us. And she said, brilliant, what's the plan with the kids? And I was like, oh shit, you know. Forgot we had kids, and it was just me being more and more all over the place in everything I was doing, and then getting the ADHD diagnosis after that.
Right.
And and I don't want to talk too much about the ADHD, you know, because it feels like a lot of comics have talked about ADHD. Which is because it's just the most self-selecting job for ADHD. My mum's hilarious with it all though, because she's old school. Why wouldn't she be? She's my mum. Be weird if she was be weird if she was cutting edge, wouldn't it? And she's sort of fairly dismissive about anyone's mental health concerns, as a lot of people of that generation are. So. My dad's brilliant with that. He's properly dismissive. He's like, oh, come on. If you really wanted to be organised, you could. Just, I think he'd tell someone with depression, oh, just bloody cheer up.
Pull your socks up. Come on.
You can pull your socks up. So, and so whenever there's another comedian who has some article or anything about ADHD, she'll phone me up and go, ah. Oh dear, I see Shapiko Sandy's now saying that she's got ADHD as well. Like, mum, she said she had this years ago. This is a big part of people's lives, a big thing. Whatever, what, fine. She just think it's just brilliant. It's just brilliant. Every article on it, oh, another bloody person's got it. So luckily she didn't see the show too many times, otherwise... She, oh, come on, Simon, stop yabbering on about this. For everyone, it's not a thing. It's not a thing. So,
Mum, please,
yeah,
I
won't bang on about
Mum.
Yeah, what was that, Rich? What's that?
Yeah, Mum, I'm working. Mum, please sit down.
Exactly. But in short, it's a big part of my life and a big part of what has made me understand myself. And it all feeds in with the being able to, you know, open up and talk about genuine things on stage and talking about what makes you tick, getting to know what you're all about. That's that's what that show is and was and is about to have a whole load of more dates in from September onwards.
Excellent.
Yeah, which is really cool, man.
That's great, man. And with your, do you feel now? Because obviously, up until you, we won't go on about it too much, but up until you got your diagnosis, was there time? Because you just walked around going, "Why the fuck am I like this? Why, you know, like with that arranging a weekend away and forgetting to sort the kids out?" It's like it must be a stack of things, and then you go, "Why am I like this? Why can't I just focus on this one thing?"
That's the one of the joys about finding out, because it's like, that's why I'm a complete tosser in so many situations. I get it now.
Yeah.
I'm not a tosser. Well, I sort of am, but there's a reason why. It is. I cried when I heard a psychiatrist on a podcast talk about the symptoms of ADHD, because it was literally like he had been following me around my whole life, written down everything I do, and, you know, called it this.
Yeah.
Disability, whatever the hell ADHD is. It was weird. You know, I find out my personality is basically, it's a list of symptoms. Wow. No one needs to spend time getting to know me anymore. I can just give them an NHS leaflet. It's all in there.
there you go.
And it is, it's amazing. It might not change how others view you. I liken it to moments on, this isn't just about ADHD. Hell, this is about understanding what makes anyone tick, whether it's it just when stuff makes sense. And you look back and you go, oh, I get myself now. And it's comforting, and it's, as I say, I liken it to the moment, you know, those Who Do You Think You Are shows where they go back and people are in tears. Oh my God, my great, 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 great uncle was, you know, half French, half German, and the 415th in line to the Swiss bloody throne. And they're like in tears, and you're looking going, dude, what's it? Who cares? But somehow there's something in humans that we like to understand ourselves. And when we make sense more, it all feels right. And nothing can come close, I think, to that moment of realizing, because ADHD, because it affects all of your brain, all of your behaviors are then influenced by it. So it's not just one aspect. Oh, I get why I feel down in that. So I understand why it's constant. It's about how you eat and how you interact and how you are organized and how you behave and how you socialize and what you think of yourself. And it's just across the board, whoa moment.
Yeah. Did you find it difficult studying? Because you used to be, you're a doctor before, you studied to be a doctor before this, before you were a comedian.
I love the way even you struggled to say that. You were a... Says like here, Simon, what it was, doctor, was it? I just can't believe that to be true, but I'm just going to go with what the lies you've put out.
You were
I
a doctor.
Was. Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? And when I look back at the studying I did, I mean, I had to sort of work, because it's weird, because people tell you, oh, you're intelligent, but then you sort of go, well, why am I having to work twice as hard and spend twice as long? For my mates would sit on their bed just looking at the in university, just reading the the medical books, and that would be it. And I like locked myself in my room, you know, padlocked so I don't get distracted, post-it notes everywhere with little scrolls and diagrams, and it's because you've got something weighing you down the whole time, which is your brain. And I can't speak for everyone with ADHD, my brain had a harder time to focus and to pick up knowledge and it's pretty cool that a few resits here and there, a few threats booted out the university. In fact, I saw a very funny letter from the university. Apparently I'd tried to give in my one of the main bits of coursework that you have to give in, and obviously I was like 2 minutes late for the deadline or something, which tends to happen with ADHD. I mean, 2 minutes is probably a record earliness for me. So And apparently I'd kicked up a bit of a fuss about, you know, please come on, let me please just hand the thing in. I can see the pile of papers there. Just let me add it to the thing. And there was a very funny letter just saying how they'd never quite seen behavior like that at the medical faculty. And we need you to resit the whole thing, threatening to boot me out. I mean, I say funny. It's funny now.
Not at the time.
But what's interesting is now, and greatly so, people with these different things are allowed the time, allowed the space, allowed the help.
Yeah.
Not like that
back then.
Rich. Oh, yeah.
You did it the hard way, mate. You did it the hard way. But I'm the same with that. I've said this a couple of times on here. I'll be sat reading books and suddenly I'm like five pages along and none of it's gone in. I've been thinking about something else. That's why I love audiobooks. Audiobooks, they've changed my life. Because I could just have it on when I'm doing something else.
Yeah, I know how you feel. To be honest with you, I actually struggle with audiobooks as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a sort of a word an hour man. the ADHD audiobook, and let's leave it there, guys. I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, I've sat there and tried to soak things in. It's hard, isn't it? You feel like a bit of an idiot because that just inability to retain that stuff. I'm talking about this in my Edinburgh show, actually, and how I just don't have enough headspace for anything other than me. You know, I'd read the complete works of Simon.
Yeah.
You know, To Kill a Mocking Simon, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Simons.
Catcher in the Simon.
Yeah. But I've never learnt so much about books as I did when I was researching that joke.
Yeah.
Because I had to come up with about eight different book titles. Bloody hell, right? To Kill a Mocking Simon. Brilliant. I remember that now forever. So, yeah, it is hard. I feel like, when you start bang on about it, I'm thinking, shut up, mate, because it's quite hard for people to empathize. You're talking about things that everyone experiences as well. Do you know, I find it really hard to focus, and everyone's like, oh, shut up, I find it hard to focus as well, mate. We're all late sometimes, you know. It is one of those things whereby everyone has a bit of it.
Yeah,
but it's
do.
When you yes. have huge amounts of everything that make your life increasingly tricky. That's when it is, that's when it is an issue. But so you're an audiobook man. You're soaking up the audiobooks, are you?
I am, and I'm having a great time because I just can't sit and focus. And if I do sit and read, I just nod off. So
yeah,
I'm
the same.
Yeah, so I have it on audiobook in the gym. So I've got Debbie Harry or whoever is the pick of that day, and she's chatting away while I'm try not to be a fat piece of shit. It works.
It's a great name for a gym. Okay, and it soaks up because even, as I say, I drift off on the audio. So you're proper, you're getting through some books now.
I think if I'm doing something else, then it will go in. So
try reading at the same time.
Yeah, but then, you know, I nod off and I crash the car. You know, I've talked about this on here before, and we were talking about people, like you've just said, everybody's got a bit of it. Everyone's got a bit of something. We're all a bit unorganized now and again, or we all have issues. But there's a lot of people that have kind of like mild symptoms that are trying to make it like it's a massive thing. And I'm not taking away from those people, but then you've got the other end, where like yourself, where you've got debilitating. It was debilitating for you before you got the diagnosis. You knew what you were just going, just bumbling around doing my best, and everything's fucking hard.
Yeah, I mean, the post-it notes is the funniest, and that's when that's when it was emotional, because when I heard, because you sort of know about the big things, the focus, and but when it goes about the little things, like, you know, faffing around for hours before bed, which is pathetic to say, but that's classic ADHD. So my ability to go to bed I'll just be getting to bed 3-4 in the morning, and then you're exhausted the next day and you can't get up, and there's post-it notes. Self-help books is a classic one. Because, I mean, obviously not that I read them, but I bought a good few, because people with ADHD tend to know there's something wrong, there's something that needs improving.
Yeah.
And so you're fishing all the time. And post-it notes just covering everything. I pulled most of them down because I put them up and then just forget I've written. To-do lists everywhere, hundreds of to-do lists. None of them ever get to done, but lots to do. And all those little things about sleeping, and there's a lot to do with eating, a lot to do with situations, and actually that bleeds into the character stuff, because when you don't quite feel like you fit in, you adapt, and therefore if you adapt, I personally then found that made it easy for me to pretend completely to be other people, and that's right, I think where the characters came from.
That's really interesting, actually. It's like Noel Faulkner that used to own the comedy cafe in Shoreditch. And I met him. Yeah. And he had the twitchy Tourette, so he was always moving. But then when he was on stage, because he actually did a whole show called Shake, Rattle and Noel, which was one of the best titles ever. And when he was on stage performing, he wasn't twitching, he wasn't doing the things, because he was focused on this other thing.
Which is a nightmare for his show.
Yeah.
You've got to believe me, all right? See me after the show.
Like, he was doing it a bit, but not as much, because he was really focusing on remembering the story, remembering the words, and which was really interesting. And that's interesting as well, like when you, becoming somebody else. I've not thought of it like that way before. And what was lovely, go on.
No, you go on, Rich.
No, go on.
Well, because you know that you don't, look, everyone wants to, there's not many people who are happy to not fit in. I'd say it's a sort of animal basic instinct to want to fit in with the pack.
Yeah.
So if you're a kid at school and you know you have a slightly different rhythm, different outlook, different way of doing and thinking, then the tendency then is to shift that. So you do fit in.
Yes.
But of course that's not what ChatGPT is suggesting, and being authentic, you are doing the opposite, because you are wanting to be accepted. So it makes for pretty uncomfortable being, because you're always shifting, and then you can shift. I used to sort of have a different vibe for different groups of mates, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Because I'd know that those group would like this sort of vibe, and this group have it, and you'd adapt yourself a little bit. Which actually reminds me of, just a little aside, one of the funniest, cutest things. My son, when he was at primary school, the teachers, they were talking about what people's dads do, and then the teacher said, "Does anyone know what my son's dad does?" And the kids put his hands up and go, "Yes, he's a chameleon." Which actually, in hindsight, some wisdom in there as I change from person to person. But yeah, so I just always love that chameleon, professional chameleon, right? So you adapt and you change, and therefore you sort of have, I felt, an ability to wear different hats and inhabit different things, and you're probably looking at people more and seeing what they do in order for them to fit in or be like them, because they seem to be popular or they seem to be happy. So you become a sort of master manipulator, and then that helps, I guess, with the characters.
Yeah. And it worked really well, because having been in the audience for Lee, we did a gig in, New Malden, I think it was. And then I sat at the back with everybody, and they genuinely believed Lee was a real person. That's how good. That's why the character took off, I guess, because everyone was like, they could see themselves in him. Their little brother was Lee. Their cousin was Lee. It hit such a rich vein of recognition with people. They were like, "Oh yeah, that's my mate. That's Lee. Yeah, Lee's one of us." Yeah. And so it must have been really hard to just to kind of turn your back on him, but I it must have been really difficult when it, because he was so successful and had such a massive audience, it must have been difficult for you to go, right, I'm gonna probably change this now, and I'm gonna change it. And it must have been hard to make that decision.
Yeah, man, that was the hardest thing I've ever done. I'm not sure that's a damning indictment of my parenting.
No.
Maybe I'm not quite doing it right if the hardest thing I've done is not bringing up a kid. But I imagine my wife's probably doing the bulk of it, to be fair, because she doesn't half bang on about how hard it is. I'm like, it's easy, oh, mate. Come on. You should have seen me. I went from characters to straight stand-up, yeah? Then talk to me about giving birth, love, all right?
Did you see what I did with the head of the FA? That's not easy, babe.
Yeah, you tried getting through that security. Yeah, the hospital let you in and allowed you pain relief, all right? None of that. Anyway, do you want me to sign? I'll sign the umbilical for you. I've got to go. So the hardest things we absolutely, the hardest thing I've ever done was moving from the characters to, it's harder than any stunt, harder than any prank, harder than any, yeah. Because it just is not something that you can meticulously plan for. Interesting, obviously the ADHD helped me with the pranks, obviously, and the stunts, like, yes. Just hyper focused on something for weeks and weeks and weeks, right?
But the
breaking away is really, really hard. Every instinct, every part of you is like getting on stage and I know exactly how to do this, because it was success, yeah. It was winning, it was working, but I just knew, I don't know why, yeah. From within, I just wanted it, needed it to change. So yeah, the hardest nights were like places like the Comedy Store would have me along, you know, because I'd always smash it there as Lee, and they're lovely there, and they'd say, yeah, yes. Come along, do 10 minutes, whatever, have a little play around, and you'll get on. Obviously, it's how many people in there, 400 or whatever, and they'd see you, yeah. And you'd get on stage, and you know, a lot of people would know who you were, and oh, that's the guy off the telly, and then you'd be there and you'd be talking and acting like an open spot, you know. And yeah. that's hard to do. That's hard, yeah. To do. That's like, asking Ronaldo to start playing in goal. Do you know what I mean? Or someone to start you. It's like, he's meant to be amazing. Why is he rubbish at football suddenly? But it's not. It's a different aspect of the same game.
Yes.
And those were the hard nights where you just go, oh, my God. I think low point was Pizza Express have that jazz. Pizza Express have got that one fancy jazz venue in the center of town, and they do comedy there sometimes. And I had, my manager came along, and he hadn't really seen it. So he wanted me to carry on as Lee. Why not carry it? What are you talking about? This is working. So I'm like, I really need to do this. Think this is the right thing. I think this is the best thing for the future. And then he'd come along to the Pizza Express in town. It was not a large crowd. And I just tanked, because it's hard, especially when nights are hard. That's when you need to be the most skilled, you know. It's actually a lot easier. I always say this to people in the dressing room at the Comedy Store looking a little bit nervous about doing their first 10 in the store. This is easier than the rubbish clubs. They want to laugh. They're there. They love it. Just have, you know. And so when things are going badly and it's not many people, and that's when you need to be the most skilled and the most relaxed and the most confident in your abilities to, you know, just soak it in. And that's why stand-up's so great, is because it's in the moment. So you have to address the fact that there's a bloody piano there and there's not many people and this is weird and someone's getting pizza. When you are newer, and I was newer, even though I'd been doing it for years, you're just like, I'm just going to say the script, and it doesn't work. It's like, what are you doing? You have to. And so I tanked. And I think I remember he said to me, something like, I wouldn't give up. Oh, thanks, mate. That's what you want from the manager, the person who's meant to back you more than anything in the world. Go, what? Personally, I wouldn't give up. I mean, it's obviously up to you.
And of course, you couldn't deviate from, because you'd made your mind up what you were going to do that night. You'd gone, I saw you outside the box in Kingston. You were emceeing, and you actually said, I know when I've done Lee does a lot of crowd work. I'm not doing that. I'm going to do this. And you kind of,
right,
whatever, that's because of your ADHD or whatever it is, you've kind of gone, this is what I'm doing tonight. And so when it doesn't go very well, when you were just relearning and restarting, if it wasn't going very well, you couldn't go back to what you were doing because you would have gone, no, I'm doing this now.
Yes. Well, I think at first you shan't have rules for yourself. I think people often ask for advice about stand-up. And the one thing I say is it's like an apprenticeship. You can't rush the process. You can't do an apprenticeship that takes 2 years and cram it into a month. And so you've got to do gig after gig after gig after gig after gig just to learn it and understand it and get used to it. And so at first, everyone's looking for the rules, and this is what I have to do to be this. And that sounds like that night. It's exactly what I was doing. I was like, I'm not going to do this. I am going to do this. And partly because you're just not, you have to be comfortable within your own skin to do crowd work. Because it was always easy as Lee, because I knew exactly who I was pretending to be. So it was always, I had the person mapped out already. But that's why it's so hard to do yourself, because, well, okay, what do I think? How do I, what? And I, what interesting, when I, obviously I do crowd work now as myself and I absolutely love it. But something that took me a while to change was with Lee, I was pretty damn harsh, you know, in a funny way, but he's sort of operating almost in a parallel world of what you can get away with. I mean, look at the pub landlord for a genius example of his crowd work and what he does. If you did that close to some of the stuff he does as, you know, as himself out of character, it'd probably, have some people demanding a refund and a bill for the dry cleaning because they got beer poured all over them. But so, when it's with Alan, you're feeling it and he's there and the pub landlord, cover me in beer, mate. Love it. Yeah. So and you can get away with, I think, more as a character because there's sort of a different set of rules. And so I was a lot harsher with Lee. I'll be really ripped the piss. Part of that was probably because I was scared that I'd be found out. So quickly crush them before they get back to you, you know?
Crush
your enemies. Take the mick out of someone's stripey t-shirt, out of their beard, out of whatever. Just do it.
Yeah.
And that was weird because I was like, hang on, I'm doing this crowd work and I'm saying some similar things to what Lee would say.
Yeah.
At first. Why are people going, ooh? It's because I'm a real person and real people don't speak like that unless they're horrible.
Yes.
So learning all that again and all that. But the good thing now, the thought of pretending to be someone else on stage, it feels weird. That's the cool thing.
Do you think the stunts helped you with the transition? Because it became, Lee was massive. And then, like you say, you'd always done characters like, you know, Jason Bent and people like that. Do you think that the stunts helped you? Because people were like, isn't that the fella that was Lee Nelson? Isn't that Lee Nelson doing that? Did it help you with the transition?
The stunts did help because it made me think, yeah, you can do this without a character. So obviously if everything you do previously where you've got a laugh has been by pretending to be someone else.
Yeah.
The stunts were the sort of hybrid because let's say the P45 giving it to Theresa May at the Tory party conference, right? Well, yeah, I was a bit of a character, but I was basically just being a sort of posh Tory, you know, aide. It wasn't like there was some huge character. And so you go, oh, that's me really, isn't it? You know, you've got to convince yourself that I'm capable of doing this. Hang on. And then a lot of the time, actually, with some of the crowd workers, Lee, there'd be answers that I was going, now, Lee Nelson is not capable of coming up with that. I know it sounds weird. You go, of course not. It's you writing it. But when you're on stage and you're interacting, you're going, oh, this is actually my brain. It's not coming back and me then filtering it exactly through Lee and spitting it out. Some of it is just me in the moment going, hang on, this is crazy. You can do this. But thinking you can do it and doing it are two very different things. But the stunts definitely did help because I was like, hang on, I'm more versatile. I can do these things. I am able to, you know, ditch basically the characterizations in order to be funny.
Yeah. And it worked. It worked. And because Lee wouldn't have known getting to the Tory conference.
Lee wouldn't have known what the Tory conference was. Yeah. You what, mate? What's going on here? All these old people. Come on. Yeah,
where you all going? Where you all going? Yeah.
Come on, where's the after party? Let's go. Exactly. And that, I think that's why when you asked me at the beginning, how's it going? And I was like, I don't want to sound like I'm enjoying myself too much, but it does feel great to be able to go, no, this is me. This is cool. This is, I'm able to, I've got this. Having probably doubted myself, we're doing the characters. I would never even thought about doing it as myself because it was just wasn't even in my wheelhouse of thinking that's going to be possible. And then, of course, if you go back, put me in the psychiatrist chair and we're talking about going back throughout my life, then I've sort of probably always lent on pretending to slightly be other people. So that's probably why this feels so refreshing and fun and engaging for me, is because, okay, this is just me, you know, this is, and I think I'm trying to aim for the, you know, you're not completely yourself on stage, no one ever is, but you want to be really talking about proper things in your life and not making stuff up and not going on about things that you think will just be funny just for the sake of it. So it's pretty cool and very unlimiting. Obviously with Lee, there's only a certain number of things he can think and say, you know?
Yeah.
And I always admire the pub landlord. Alan Partridge is just always fresh, always got, maybe that's just the initial writing of the character was better because they can see things constantly and constantly updating and constantly. I guess maybe partly because Lee was never that opinionated.
No.
So there's not much for him, whereas the pub landlord and Partridge are incredibly opinionated. You know, they've got this view of the world, aren't they? So they can constantly adapt to the new things. Whereas Lee, it was diminishing returns after a while. How many times can he view this through his, because he was just up for a laugh. That was just basically
was it,
getting
yeah.
it wrong. He was having a laugh. He was skipping along and taking the piss merrily. And so after a while, for me, that became, well, okay, I haven't got much more to say as Lee.
No. It's almost as if that Lee gave you the confidence to get up on stage and do what you wanted to do, was to be a comedian. And now it's like, Lee has now given you the freedom to kind of, now you've got the freedom to be yourself. He's like, Lee gave you that confidence. And now he's like, and now you've got the confidence to be yourself. It's a really nice thing to see. And I see a lot of character acts that, like Colin Holt with Anna Mann. Like
that was now a brilliant show.
Brilliant show. A brilliant character. He's a brilliant comic. And it's interesting to see that, people kind of, they get the confidence to go, actually, I can do it as myself now, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Colin, actually, when he was interacting, did remind me of the pub landlord. It was brilliant. It was Anna Mann. What was the show called that he won the Edinburgh
Death
Prize
of Anna Mann.
The Death of Anna Mann. That's it. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. And his interaction was absolutely first class. And had that perfect
kind of... He sort of tells people how that is. It like he'd go, you know what I mean, like telling them what they're feeling and what they're thinking.
Yes, darling. It was a lot of fun to watch that show. Yeah. Can you hear a cry in the background?
Oh yeah, everything all right?
Yeah, it's a cat.
Oh. Is it locked in somewhere?
Say again.
Is it locked in somewhere?
Do we want to see a cat? We'll leave the cat out of the podcast. No one wants to hear a cat crying on a podcast. I think me chewing a sweet potato is probably enough for the senses.
Yeah. What else can we do? Blow up some balloons, maybe? Do some balloon animals?
Has anyone farted into the mic yet? Be bloody hilarious, mate.
But it is that it's you see that when people are starting out, they maybe don't have the confidence to do it as themselves, and they create a character that makes it so they've got that safe space, if you will. And then as they go along, they've got the confidence now because they've been on stage many times, and they go, actually, I think I can do this as myself. And you kind of let go of the safety rail and And it takes a while to transition, but you get there because you've built all that, built those skills up over time, being this other character. You're still in there. Yeah.
I don't think all people who do characters want to be themselves. I'm not like I didn't want to for you know, that was never even, I didn't step on the stage as Lee thinking long term I'm gonna get the cap off and be myself. That was never even part of what I was thinking for a split second. But it is interesting that spectrum, you know. I was speaking to John Kearns, who's obviously an absolute masterclass of a comedian, and he has the wig and the teeth, which are these obvious comic conceits, which you on the face of it, the whole thing looks sort of but that allows him the ability to bring out his richest, most interesting and most personal things. That's just his way of doing it. And it's you know, all the way from proper character to persona to whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get a laugh, we'll do it. I need to get my dick out, I will do so.
I'm glad those days are behind us now.
Oh yeah, of course they are. Yes.
Just like to clarify. I've got my dick out now. This is how I do this.
Who wants to do a podcast in the summer without their dick out? It's, you know what people today, insane the membrane, they're just going to talk about having their dicks out. Well, no, actually, because this is way toward the end of our conversation. Thank you.
This is it. Yeah. And we've only now informed the listeners.
I said I could take about 45 minutes before my real nature came out. And would you know, pretty much clockwork. I'm now talking about getting my dick out. Brilliant.
We've been winning the pooing this whole time.
Post-it notes all over. Don't mention your dick. Don't mention your dick. Don't
mention. And you took them all down and went, fuck it. I'm going to be authentic.
Yeah. It's what ChatGPT told me.
Get your dick out. So you're doing Edinburgh, and then what happens then? You're going to take it on tour like you did with the show?
I'm doing Edinburgh, and I'm excited about Edinburgh because this is the best space I've played, and it's at 8:30, and it feels like years and years of going up, and this feels like, I'm getting the rewards here. This is a great space at a great time. Don't shout it too loudly, but I think there is air conditioning in my room.
What?
That's right. Yeah.
No.
If people haven't been to Edinburgh, they're sort of thinking, what are you talking about? Well, that sounds like this comedy show is great comedians doing. People think you're probably stepping into these beautiful Victorian theatres, you know, and public safety announcements. The performance is about to begin. Please, no, there's none of that. You are crammed in rooms, in cars, in cupboards, in bars, in anything. It's just comedy in every space in Edinburgh. And although Edinburgh thankfully never gets above 22 degrees, somehow most rooms never get below 32 degrees for the whole of the festival. it's quite amazing. So to have a place with actual air conditioning and proper raked seating, it's like, bloody hell, mate. Little bit fancy. Mate. It's weird, isn't it? Because it just makes it so horrible for the... I get it. It's expensive. So putting air conditioning is... But it just... It's not a nice watching the shows a lot when it gets hot, and it's like, oh man.
Yeah. It's just, you see people fanning themselves with the flyer.
Yes.
And you're like, I know they're trying. They're like, I'm really trying to enjoy this, but I am being boiled alive in my own jeans.
Yes. I can see rows 3 and 4 are stuck together. It's going to be hard for you to enjoy this performance.
Like you're
guys, like
you left
a
bag of Haribo in the car.
Yeah, they should make it open air, really, shouldn't they? Or sort of like marqueed, but I don't know. Anyway, it's great. So I'm buzzing about going up there. Still working on the show exactly, but that again is always exciting. The sort of the new and trying to come up with that. I've got a preview tonight. Previews all over the place. We're warming up, and then after that, the tour called Screwed Up continues because that added a load of extra dates. So I'm going to Europe.
Lovely.
Yeah, which is really cool. And yeah, this tour is going to be bigger than I have ever done as Lee. So,
Wow.
Wise words by my manager to think about not giving up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like the intonation. Is a kind of like, don't give up.
Like, don't give up.
I don't. Yeah. But don't. I mean, yeah. Don't give up.
It's like the least convincing. Yeah. No, I do think you look nice in the outfit. Yeah. So and then after that, like I don't know, 30 dates or whatever. Yeah, around the UK, and then I think, yeah, it's pretty cool. I think we're hopefully going to be announcing. Because I did 8 Leicester Squares, which was pretty cool. God.
Yeah, man. Did you get a plaque?
I mean, just in the square, you understand. Just yeah. Everyone, come on. Get out of Legoland, out of M&M World, because let me tell you about me, mate.
Wait, mate, no, can you turn it down a bit? Yeah, I know. Yes, I know. Yeah. You're a great guitarist, mate. But
yeah.
I've got shit to say.
I love the break dancing. Just give me 5 minutes, please, here, mate. Although that's how the top
secret
you've got a bar jump. You got that's how the Top Secret crew started, isn't it? Mark was a street performer, and then they set up
Top really?
Secret. Top Secret. Yeah. That's why at the end of the show they do the bucket shows. He's absolute genius because of the way they work it. A lot of the shows during the week they don't charge to get in, and then afterwards you go give what you can, and he's like absolute masterclass because that's obviously no one charges to get into the actual Leicester Square, but you've got to get them giving you money after. So yeah, did 8 shows, Leicester Square Theatre, and then hopefully about to announce a big London show
fantastic
as part of that second leg. So yes, really, really fun, really enjoying myself.
Excellent. This has been lovely, Simon. I've really enjoyed having you on again, mate. It's been a proper to talk to you properly. It's been excellent. I could just chat to you all day. It's fantastic.
Likewise, mate. Although I feel there'll be more dick references the longer we continue.
So we'll just take it. We'll just end it there.
Do I end my chat with Rich Wilson? Asking ChatGPT. He's taking his time. To end your chat with Rich Wilson on the Insane in Your Membrane podcast, you can express your gratitude for the opportunity to be on the show. Well, hang on. And the previous advice, it said be authentic. Thank Rich for the conversation and his time. This is just brilliant. Makes you realise just, oh, God, everyone does do this at the end of the podcast. Mentioning how enjoyable and insightful it was. Wow. ChatGPT is an incredible master manipulator. You can also express your excitement to listen to future episodes.
As we've already discussed, the Book of Simon.
Yeah, I'll listen to this episode over and over again.
Yeah.
And my previous one I was on. And wish Rich continued success with the podcast. Ending, are you ready for it? On a positive note that will leave a good impression. Rich.
Excellent.
I bloody love you. I wish you all the best with everything. And I can't wait to listen to every episode in the future. It's been a pleasure, mate. And incredibly insightful.
I love this. Thank you for being so authentic and lovely.
It's couldn't be any more authentic with that, I think. No, seriously, it has been. No, I'm about to say, no, seriously, now I will say whatever things that said, but in a slightly different tone. No, seriously, it has been great, and thanks for your insight, and I'm looking forward to listening to all the future podcasts. And it's always a pleasure, mate. I don't see you on the circuit as much, and I'll be... hope to. Are you touring? Are you circuiting? Are you podcasting? Are you
circuiting, podcasting, running around, putting a show together? No Edinburgh this year. Working on other things. My wife's pregnant, so we're having a baby in December. So that kind of takes, you know. Yeah, yeah. A couple of swimmers left in the tank, mate.
Listen, love. If you thought this was hard, Simon went from characters to himself. All right. So just. Carry on with the breastfeeding if you can, please, all right?
And breathe. Let me tell you about Simon Brodkin, honestly. Simon, this has been amazing. Thank you so much, mate.
Likewise, mate.
This has been Insane in the Membrane. I've been Rich Wilson. This has been the wonderful Simon Brodkin, and we'll see you next time.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.